Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
Before you sit down, why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them you're in the right place at the right time right now. I believe that. You can be seated. Thank you for being here with us. We had a wonderful time at our 9 o'clock service, just enjoyed ourselves, and the presence of the Lord just was with us. And so I'm praying today that God will minister to you. And whoever you are, maybe it's your first time or you've been here before, and even those that are regularly coming, I believe the Lord is going to bless you today. And I believe this message will encourage you, inspire you, and also kind of challenge you. But we're in a new series, a new sermon series called Words from the Cross. And if you're familiar with the fact that when Jesus was crucified and he hung on the cross, he made 7 public statements that apply to everyone on this earth. It's for that present generation and generations to come. And these were significant statements. In fact, they were eternal statements. And I believe that all of us need to understand those words, because most of us know that if you were with someone that was dying right before their death, it's probably their last few words are the most significant, most important. And so I believe right before Jesus died, he made these public statements that apply to all of us. And so we're going to talk about these statements. We're not going to be able to cover all 7 of them, but we're going to cover as many as we can this month until Easter. And so I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So let me ask you a question before I go on here. How many of you have ever gone on a trip on an airplane? Anyone? Just raise your hand. Show me your hands. Oh, a few of you. Okay. Can I see your hand if you've gone on a train trip? Anybody ever gone on a train trip? I heard that's pretty cool. How about, okay, I'll just make it real easy. You got to have done it. How many have ever gone on a car trip? All right, you've gone somewhere. How many of you have ever gone on a guilt trip? Anybody on a guilt trip? I think all of us at some point have carried some kind of guilt. In fact, I would say that some of you are still carrying some kind of guilt. And so I'm going to read a scripture here, and then we're going to pray. And this is not my text, but I think it does say some significant things to all of us, especially when it comes to sin and guilt and all of that. And so I'm going to read this verse of scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. And it says this: if they could have provided perfect cleansing, he's talking about these animal sacrifices, the sacrifices would have stopped. And remember, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals to cover their sin. He said, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all, for all time. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible, again, it's not even possible, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Then it says, jump down to verse 10, it says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we get ready to get into this message. So Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that your word is powerful, that your word is relevant, that it applies to our life in 2024. That God, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a fable, but God, your word is life-changing. Your word is true. So I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive the word. Remove every distraction right now. Help us to focus on the word of God. And I pray today that people would hear the voice behind this voice. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So I mentioned guilt earlier because guilt is something that all of us carry. And unfortunately, a lot of people carry this guilt for the rest of their life. And the problem with guilt is that it creates all kinds of fear in our life. And if you haven't found out already, the fear that you create, it may fear that someone rejects you because of things that are in your life, or if they find out something about you. Fear that someone will retaliate against you for something what you may have done. Guilt creates an enormous fear in life, and so God doesn't want us, believe it or not, does not want us to walk around in guilt. And so this is why Paul the Apostle talked about how the blood of animals would cover the sin, but it would not remove the sin or the guilt of sin. And this is why Jesus Christ came to the earth, not only to remove our sin, but to remove the guilt of sin. And so a lot of us today may have trouble kind of understanding that. So let me give you the best example that I can. It would be that maybe like you're at home and you're waiting for company to come over to your house. You have people coming over, and right before they're pulling up, maybe they're parking out there or they're pulling up in your driveway, one of your kids decides to spill soda right at the entryway. So you have to think really quickly. You don't have time to wipe it up, and you get one of those rugs over there and you just put it right over that thing. And they walk in. Nobody knows that there is soda under that rug because what? It's covered. But you know that that soda is now creating a stain, maybe crusty a little bit. You've ever dealt with that. And so you can tell I've had experience with this. And so it's now crusty, it's stained. And so you didn't remove the rug did not remove the stain. It just covered it. And so when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he removed the stain of guilt. I said he removed the stain of guilt. And so a lot of us don't understand the benefits of Jesus dying on the cross. In fact, if I were to ask some of you that have been serving the Lord for any amount of time, what are the benefits of Jesus dying on the cross? Would you be able to name some of those benefits? And so here's what I want to talk about. The first thing, one of the first public statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross, really it was an act of mercy. It was an act of mercy that really gave us forgiveness. Instead of retaliating, instead of getting back at the people that were crucifying him, that were hurting him, he gave an act of mercy when he offered forgiveness. And so let's just read a few verses about that day of his crucifixion in Luke chapter 23. And we could see the application of what I'm going to talk about today in verse 32. Just give you what's going on. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. So Jesus was not the only one being executed that day. There were some thieves that were being crucified alongside him. And they finally came to a place called the Skull. It was a mountain. It's still there today. Many translations say Golgotha, and it's a mountain that looks like several skulls. And in fact, if you go, don't Google it now, okay? Just Google it later, okay? But you'll see it, and it looked like skulls there. And back then, today it's in the center of Jerusalem, but back then it was on the outside of Jerusalem. So they took them outside the city to be crucified there. And then it says this here. It says all three were crucified there. Jesus was in the center cross and the two criminals on either side. So can you imagine? He died a criminal's death, one on each side of him. But this is what Jesus says, which is so powerful. Instead of acting in revenge, instead of making a statement like, I'm going to get you guys. You watch out. You know, he makes the statement an act of mercy. And he said this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The very first words out of Jesus' mouth is not revenge. It's not retaliation. It's not trying to get back at them. He gives them an act of mercy, and he offers forgiveness. Now, mercy is very significant for us to understand. Many times we confuse grace and mercy. Grace is undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. But mercy is not giving us what we deserve. What they deserve was death for what they were doing to an innocent man. What they deserved was retaliation. In fact, Jesus made this statement, don't you know that I could call 7 or 12 legions of angels that come and wipe these people out right now? But I'm not going to do that. It was an act of mercy. He offered grace, or he offered mercy of forgiveness instead of retaliation. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. This is true mercy. Mercy is forgiveness. And so I'm going to talk about this mercy or this forgiveness, but there's two sides to forgiveness, two sides to mercy. And most of us probably are aware of it because we like the one side first. We like that first part, like, man, I'm forgiven. Oh, man, that's great. A lot of us enjoy forgiveness, but we don't enjoy offering forgiveness to others. Yeah, you know I was getting somewhere. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it's part of the Lord's Prayer. You probably grew up learning this, but not really understanding. It says, forgive us our sins. God, forgive us our sins. What? As we have forgiven those who sin against us. So, God, you forgave us. We thank you for that. And now we forgive those that sin against us. In other words, if you are a beneficiary, if you're a person that is the recipient of this forgiveness from God for all the wrong that you've ever done, God forgives you, then you are required, not an option, you are required, you are obligated, it is assumed, you have no right to hold unforgiveness against someone else. You forgive those that sin against you. If you've been forgiven, you've been given mercy, you need to give mercy to others. Don't tell me you're a Christian. Don't even say it. If you're holding grudges, if you have unforgiveness in your life, it is a contradiction to the Word of God. There's no way you could tell me you're a believer, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're holding grudges and unforgiveness against people. You need to repent today. We'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service. So again, two things about forgiveness, about mercy. God, you forgive me. And second, I forgive others. So number one, write this down. Mercy means God forgive me. And I want to talk about the forgiveness of God because I think many times we don't understand it. We don't comprehend fully what God has done for us. God completely gave us a fresh start. He wiped the slate clean. Whatever was on your rap sheet, he erased it. I mean, he was willing to remove the debt to set you free. That's better than a $10 billion inheritance. You say, oh, no, yeah, it is, because money's temporary. This is eternal. He wiped the slate clean. He forgave you. That's better than all the miracles of any disease. If they discovered a cure for cancer, a cure for this. In other words, friend, forgiveness is greater because we're talking about eternity. So God is willing to forgive you. The problem is if you've been around church for a while or you've been walking with God for a while, you've been serving God for a while, here's the problem. Is that a lot of us, after we've been walking with God, we get used to it. Forgiveness is not a big deal. In fact, some of you are checking out right now. Oh, you're going to preach on forgiveness? Oh, I heard that sermon already. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Oh, I already know that already. Okay, for you big theologians, I'm just going to remind you, and maybe you might learn something today, that forgiveness is powerful. That is something we always need to be grateful for every day of your life. And most of you have heard me say this, that one of the keys to my life of walking with God for as long as I have is I'm just grateful for God's forgiveness. From the moment I wake up to the time I go to bed, I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his forgiveness. It's not something I get used to. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. So here's the question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Do you feel forgiven? Do you feel forgiven? Because the problem is most people don't feel forgiven. Most people feel more guilty than they are forgiven. If I was to really take a survey today, because how many feel guilty? Everybody say, I kind of do. And most of us feel more guilty than we do forgiven. How many of us say, man, I just feel so forgiven today? Oh, you woke up, I feel so forgiven. Most of us say, man, I feel so guilty. And I want to just say this. Forgiveness is not just an emotion. It's a genuine experience with God. Forgiveness really is, it creates an emotion that sinks deeply into your heart that you know that you're confident that God has forgiven you. So here's the problem. When you feel guilty, it pulls you away from God. When you feel forgiven, then it draws you closer to God. So I'm hoping today that you'll get the understanding that you've been completely forgiven. So write this down. Number one about forgiveness, God wants to forgive you. Or just write this down. God wants to forgive me. Write that down. God wants to forgive me. He actually does. God desires to forgive you. He longs to forgive you. In fact, the Bible says, write this down. I don't think I have that up on the screen. 1 John 4:19. He loved us. He loved us first. Or we love him because he first loved us. So one of the ways that you understand that God wants to forgive you is he loved you before you even started loving him. He wants to forgive you. He longs to forgive you. He chooses to forgive you. He's not forced to do it. Nehemiah 9:17 says, you are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. You are slow to become angry, and you're so full of love and forgiveness. He's always ready, to forgive you. God is not reluctant to forgive you. God doesn't look at you like, again? Oh my gosh, come on. Don't even look at me. Look at the hand. Don't even look at me, right? He doesn't say that. God is overflowing, wants to forgive you. Micah says in 7:18, you do not stay angry forever, but God says, but delight, say delight. In other words, God takes joy and to show mercy. He's showing you mercy. It's one of God's favorite things. He delights in showing mercy. He enjoys giving you mercy and forgiveness. He wants to do it. In fact, the Bible gives us a great illustration of the joy of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son who leaves his father and he wastes his life, but he comes back in repentance. And the Bible says the father embraces him, loves him. He's been waiting for him to come home. But here's what the scripture says. It says, likewise in heaven, Luke 15:7. Now, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven, over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous men who need no repentance. God delights in forgiving people. The forgiveness is in the heart of the Father. But here's our problem. Are you ready for this? We have trouble understanding this, and I'm going to tell you why. The reason why we have trouble understanding that God delights in forgiving us is we don't enjoy forgiving people. We don't have the delight. It's not in our nature to forgive others. Think about what delights you. If I was to ask you, make a list of what you enjoy. It probably wouldn't be forgiveness. Am I right? But let's just say, if you were to go down memory lane of all the things you've enjoyed, maybe you were growing up, maybe you even have photos, maybe you even have videos of yourself, of things that you do. Maybe if you were a kid, you like going fishing, you like going to the baseball games, and Maybe you have a certain spot that, man, I remember this. And it brings delight. Am I right? It brings joy. The Bible says that that's how God looks at you or looks at events. When he forgives you, he gets great joy. He looks forward to forgiving you. In fact, if God had a phone, again, probably be an iPhone, not an Android. Probably, yeah, we'll find out in heaven. So anyway, God has his iPhone, and he's looking at you and looking at your life. He says, man, I remember when I saved him. I remember when I forgave him. I remember when he came to me and I took away all of his sin. God delights. Somebody say, God delights in forgiveness. He does it. He loves to do it. Number two, write this down. You need to know this. God freely forgives. You can't earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing that you could do to pay for the forgiveness. It's the gift of God. In fact, Jesus paid the price for you already. The scripture said this. A lot of us are familiar with the scripture, Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned and we fall short of God's glory. In other words, we're all sinners. Our righteousness doesn't even make it into the glory of God. But the second verse says this, 24, yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely again takes away our sin. So this verse reminds us that you can never earn God's forgiveness. You don't deserve God's forgiveness. It is the gift of God that he freely gives. It doesn't mean it didn't cost him anything. How many know it cost Jesus his life? But you can't pay for it. You can't earn it. Jesus paid. He freely gives it to you. And here's the problem, or I shouldn't say the problem. Here's the thing we need to realize is all of us need God's forgiveness. I don't know a human being on the earth that doesn't need God's forgiveness. And we need to receive it. It's a gift. And so our trouble is this. The reason why we can't receive the gift of forgiveness, number one, is a lot of us don't believe that he will forgive us. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and say, let's pray. God's going to, oh, man, he's not going to forgive me. No, not me. And so they don't believe that God will forgive them. Number two, they live in this state of mind that they don't deserve to be forgiven. How many know all of us don't deserve it? But it becomes such a part of them that they say, I don't deserve it. And then they come to church and they see all these nice people that are sitting next to them and say, look at these nice people. See, they deserve it. I don't. Well, they're nice now, but you didn't know them before they came to church. I happen to know them. They clean up really well. These people are not as nice as you think they are. God changed their life. God forgave them. They're forgiven. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, before you see my glory, you need to hear my story. Amen. Yeah, see? See, you're looking at the glory on them now, but you don't know their story. All of us have a story. And some of these nice people that sit next to you, they wouldn't have been nice to you before. Some of them would have pickpocketed you, or they would took your car away in the parking lot. What do they call that when they take your car away? Yeah, you get, what is it called? I don't know what I'm calling. I don't know what I'm thinking about it. You guys have these terminologies now. I'm hearing criminal terminologies out there. I don't know what's going on. Carjacked, I was thinking. Carjacked. Yeah. Not that I've carjacked anyone, but thank God we're not carjacking anymore. God set us free, right? So this forgiveness is for everyone. He freely gives it to us. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. God freely gives it to us. In fact, Colossians 1:14 says, in him we enjoy our freedom, the forgiveness of sin. So the question is, are you enjoying your forgiveness? Are you enjoying the freedom of forgiveness, or are you letting guilt and shame hinder that enjoyment? See, when God forgives you, he removes the shame, he removes the guilt, he removes the fear, and he replaces it with love, grace, are you hearing me today, and peace. So you can have and know and feel forgiven. Number three, write this down. God immediately forgives you. God immediately does it. There's no reservation. Could you imagine if you came today and you said, man, I want God's forgiveness, and you came to the altar today and God said, oh, hold on. Oh, man, no. I know what you did this past Saturday and Friday. Yeah, you need to go back. I'll think about it next week, and I may forgive you. But what you did is pretty bad. Thank God he does it immediately. He's not reluctant. He doesn't hold back. Like some of us, somebody asked for you, oh, we think about it. Yeah, not you guys. I'm just saying. But God immediately forgives us. He does it immediately. This is why the cross and him dying on the cross and him saying, God, our Father, forgive them, because he immediately, the first thing he's on the cross, the first thing he speaks is not revenge, but forgiveness. In fact, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says, God is merciful and quick to forgive. He doesn't delay. He doesn't slow down. He does it immediately. The moment you ask God to forgive you, immediately it takes place. And see, we need to know that, because a lot of us, again, we're walking around with guilt. Now, all guilt is not bad. Let me just tell you why. Guilt is a signal or a warning light that something is wrong in your life. So guilt shouldn't be something you live in. Guilt should be a warning that you need to get corrected. How many of you have ever been driving your car and all of a sudden the little light goes on and it says, you know, car maintenance, right? You got to take your car in and you say, oh, engine trouble. You guys familiar with that? So what do? You put your thumb over it? Do you put like a little tape over it and say, oh, it's not there? And then your wife says, there, light there. Goes, no, that's not a light. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, this just, you know, it got stuck there, you know, no worry. And all of a sudden your car starts, you know what I'm talking about. Men that are always procrastinating, right? But you're supposed to take it in. It's a warning light that something is wrong with your car and you need to get it fixed. So if you have guilt, God is showing you a warning light that you need to get something right. And guess what? If you'll come to God, he'll forgive you and he'll remove the guilt out of your life. That's it. There's a myth out there that says, well, the more guilty you feel, the better you are. No, the more guilty you feel, the more miserable you are. And here's the other one. God completely forgives you. I love this. Completely. Everything. Could you imagine everything that you've done wrong? If we could pile up your sins, if we could just put your sins like in a book form, like a little small paperback, and we could stack each of our sins, you know, how many piles would we have? You know, I probably, you know, have a little pile here, and some of you would just have warehouses, man. No, I'm just kidding. All of us would have warehouses, right? Like, man, look at that guy's sin, man. Talk about storage, man. We'd have all kinds. Thank God. What God does is he wipes away all of your sin. I said he completely removes your sin, absolutely 100%. Colossians chapter 2 says this, verse 13. God forgave all of our sins, all of them. He canceled the record that contained charges against us. He took it and he destroyed it by nailing it to the Christ cross. So he completely removed the record of it. It's like if you pay a bill, how many know if you pay a bill, you don't think about that bill anymore. You're not waking up at night thinking, the bill got paid. No, the bill's over. It's done. So God wipes it away. He removes it completely. He destroys it. God is not like us. He doesn't keep a file on us and say, well, you know what? I forgive you until further sin. He doesn't file it away and say, oh, you know, I'll forgive you until you do something else. Then we start taking out the record. But God completely, 100%, remove this. So I want you guys to bring this thing over that we're going to show you. I'll give you an example of God's forgiveness today, because a lot of us today don't realize how much he removes this sin. He doesn't build a case on us. He removes it. He wipes it away completely, no matter what you've done in your life. So here we got a shredder here. How you doing, man? All right. Awesome, man. And so We're here, and this young man here, what's your name? I forget your name again. Jordan. So we got Jordan here. And there's a lot of names I have to remember, so forgive me, guys. I know who Jordan is. He's been here a while. But Jordan has a lot of sin in his life, as you can see. And probably a lot more that we can't number, but he admitted to all of this. No, he didn't. But we're using him as an example today. We have lying. We have addiction. We have pride. We have lust. We have unforgiveness. Oh, man, this is fornication. Wow, this is pretty bad. So he's got all of these things in his life right here that he's carrying all of this guilt. And it could be like a lot of us. You're carrying some of these right now, or maybe others. And you're saying, how am I going to get rid? Jordan is wondering, how am I going to get rid of all of these sins in my life? How do I do it? Well, that's why Jesus came to forgive us. So Jesus, when he forgives us, it's like this shredder. So let's just take that first one, pride. And Jesus said, you know what I'm going to do with your pride? I'm going to shred it. And you see it being shred right there? And then the next one, let's get whatever, addiction. If you're bound by some kind of drug or some kind of alcohol, Jesus will set you free. He shreds that away. Let's look at fornication. Man, that's the big one right there. That's that sexual sin. I'll forgive you of that. And let's go for lying right here, man. If you're not telling the truth, he shreds that away. Unforgiveness, man. Right here, unforgiveness. You're holding grudges. God, if you'll repent, he'll forgive you. And the last one is lust. He's a God of forgiveness. Now, here's what I want you to see. You can see evidence of it being shredded, right? But here's what I love about God is that when he's shredding this sin and he's removing this sin from your life, there is no shred of evidence. It's completely obliterated. It's vaporized. I don't care if you're CSI, you will never find any evidence of that sin because God completely annihilates and wipes away your sin. Somebody give God praise. Let's give these guys a big hand. So the next time you're at that shredder at work, think about God shredding your sin. You'll never look at a shredder the same again. Micah 7:19 said, you will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sin. You will throw away all of our sin into the deepest part of the sea. God has forgotten your sin. He's not holding anything against you any longer. This is why Romans chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible tells us there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't walk around condemned. Don't walk around with your head down because God is a God of forgiveness. There is a God today that forgives us. And so a lot of us, what happens is we say, well, I just don't understand that. It just doesn't seem right that somebody gets away with it. Man, think about how much we got away with. And so we want justice. You know what justice is? It's judgment. We want judgment on this person. But James 2:13 says mercy triumphs over judgment. I said mercy wins. Forgiveness wins. Don't worry about justice. Don't worry. Let that be in God's hand. Our part is forgiveness and mercy. Somebody say amen. So number two, here's going to be the hard part for a lot of us today, is mercy and forgiveness mean that I forgive others. Yeah, see, I waited for the last part here because here's where a lot of you are going to go on your phone right now. You don't want to hear this. But you need to hear this. If you'll just give me a little moment here. All of us need to learn how to forgive others. Now, I'm not going to tell you that forgiving others is easy. In fact, a lot of us may even be struggling with forgiveness, and I'll include myself. But I understand this. If we haven't experienced forgiveness, then we won't be able to forgive others. But if you truly have experienced forgiveness, then you are obligated by God to forgive others. It is a command of God. It is something Jesus told us that we're supposed to do. It doesn't mean that it's not difficult. Doesn't mean that it's not a struggle. But if we've been forgiven, if we've experienced and benefited out of forgiveness, then the Bible says we need to forgive others. So let me give you a survey, but don't, you know, the first service was saying, yay, no, don't, okay, just in your mind, okay? I'm going to give you a survey. I'm going to ask you a true or false question. True or false, you don't have to shout out. A person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. True or false? There's a lot of us today, we think, true, yes, people should ask for forgiveness. Then I, you know, when they don't ask for it, well, then, you know, too bad, they lost out. True or false? You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten. So in other words, I have to forget, then I've truly forgiven. True or false? Forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain that it caused. Minimizing it. True or false? Forgiveness includes restoring completely the trust in that relationship. In other words, I forgive them, then I need to restore the relationship completely and do it immediately. And then the last one, when I see someone hurt, someone else hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender for them. In other words, you're asking for forgiveness in behalf of that person. So all of them that I just said are false. None of that is true. Because a lot of us have these false notions when it comes to forgiveness. We think that, oh yeah, I need to forget. And if I haven't forgotten, then I really haven't forgiven. That's not true. So write this down. Forgiveness, number one, is unconditional. You don't put conditions on people. If you forgive a person, you've forgiven them. You don't get even with them. You don't say, well, you know, I'll forgive you if you do that. How many know Jesus didn't do that to us? When he's on the cross, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so again, forgiveness is non-conditional. You don't try to hold it over on people and try to put terms on people. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another. Look at what it says. As quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. So people don't need to earn your forgiveness. They need to immediately understand that they've been forgiven. I won't be able to read the story, but it's the story of Corrie Ten Boom. If some of you may be familiar, she wrote the book, The Hiding Place. There's actually a movie called The Hiding Place. And this woman and her sisters and family, they hid Jewish people in their home to save them from the Nazis. They were captured. And they killed her mom and dad and her sister. And she was left alone. She survived the Holocaust. And later on, she went back to Germany in 1947 to share of God's forgiveness and to share forgiveness to the people in Germany. She was in Munich, Germany. She shared her testimony how she was in this concentration camp. And she talked about forgiving others. And at the end of that, of her session there, she saw this man walking toward her. He was well-dressed, but all of a sudden, she realized who this man was. He had been one of the ruthless guards that was at her concentration camp. He had seen her naked various times, but she realized that this man didn't recognize her because there were too many people. But he came to her to say, hey, I've become a Christian. And I know that God's forgiven me of all the cruel things that I've done there. But I'd like to hear from your lips again. Will you forgive me? Not knowing that she knew exactly who he was. She couldn't erase the terrible things that this man had done. She was thinking about her sister and everything else. But yet she had just finished talking about forgiveness. How I do this, she said. And all of a sudden, she was holding back her hand, but something flooded in her. She stuck out her hand and she said, I forgive you, brother, with all of my heart. And with a long moment, they grasped each other. And this former guard, this former prisoner, both experience the forgiveness of God. That's true forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Again, forgiveness is not forgetting. I'm not saying that we hold it over because we remember. I'm saying that God will help you over the long term to heal your heart, and the intensity of the wrong that's done to you will begin to subside, but you'll never forget. In fact, I think sometimes we don't need to forget. We need to remember what God forgave us from. We need to remember some of these things because we understand the grace of God. So you'll never forget. I think about Jesus when he resurrected from the dead. One of the first things that he did after he resurrected, that the women that saw him and witnessed his resurrection, Jesus said, go tell the disciples and Peter, because we know that Peter was the one that betrayed him. We know that Peter was the one that betrayed him three times. But he said, go tell the disciples and Peter about my resurrection, because Jesus wanted Peter to know that he forgave him. He didn't forget. He remembered what Peter did, but he responded in forgiving. Forgiveness is not restoring the trust completely. In other words, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean, hey, we start off where we left off. That person needs to earn trust, but he needs to be forgiven immediately. Immediately. Unconditionally. If I forgive that person, I forgive them immediately. To restore our trust will take some time. There will be genuine repentance, maybe even restitution, possibly. And there will be a rebuilding of trust over time. Your forgiveness is not based on a person's response, whether they accept it or not. It's something that you do because God tells you to do it. Trust is earned over time. And forgiveness, again, is immediately. It happens. And when you really forgive, you release it to God. The Bible says, don't hold anything against others. Pray for those that persecute you. Pray for your enemy. The Bible says, do everything you know. Don't take revenge in your hand in Romans chapter 12. Leave that in God's hand. I release that. I let it go. I give it to God. I forgive that person. I don't hold it in my life any longer. Because God forgave me, I need to forgive others. If you have really, truly experienced forgiveness, then you will learn and you will know that you need to forgive others just as God has forgiven you. So I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray for God's forgiveness over your life. I'm going to pray that God would help you forgive others. So why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment.
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.